Beat or on the rocks. Just act accordingly.
Starts with a glass of bourbon, then goes to, oh, First Blood's on. I think I'll watch this again.
You're listening to Bishop and Laurinaitis.
All right, with that, we head out on the Brian Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Brian Fisher, our guest, College Football Talk, joining us. Brian, you know, James and I were talking about Mike Gundy's comments there, which come off a little crass and a little lacking, I suppose, a view of the world. But at the same time, I think he's coming from a place of just wanting to get back to playing football. And I think all of us want these things. And one thing that James and I have talked about over the course of this thing over the last month, and obviously we spend most of our time talking about college football, is that this one's going to be the hardest to get back because of for a bunch of reasons. When you think about college football getting back, what does it look like to you?
It's a long road. I think that's the thing that Mike Gundy and the rest of the coaches that are kind of chiming in on this need to understand, is that that is a long road back. And they're not in control of that decision. You know, I think the coaches that are speaking out are so used to controlling everything about their program. This is way out of their hands. This is out of their athletic director's hands. You know, this is really in the hands of the presidents, the commissioners, I think the NCAA apparatus in general, and they're at the mercy of all these health experts. And so I think when you talk with people around college athletics, it is going to be a long road back. And, you know, that's including students on campus. That's including, you know, getting to the point where testing is widely available. I just think that everybody, you know, looking at these dates over the summer and into the fall, you know, it's all a moving target right now. And a lot of that has to do with things that are simply out of their control.
Yeah, Brian, is the first thing school? I mean, is that the biggest? Because these other sports leagues, right, they're paid. And I think the NCAA has lots of things to kind of, you know, deal with here. Obviously, they want to get the income from televised games. Heck, I think we all would love to have fans back in there. But I think when you look at it, they have to make sure that the academics is coming first, because they still are student-athletes, no matter what you think about pay-for-play, right, and all this stuff. They are student-athletes. Is it going to be come down to the universities putting these students back on campus before we can even think about sports?
Yeah, that is first and foremost. And I think you're going to see you're already seeing schools kind of come out and say, look, you know, we're going to have online-only classes for the rest of the summer. I know Ohio State is one of those. You look around the country, I think that's going to be the key benchmark, is when students are going to get back on campus. Then you can kind of start to formulate plans in terms of, you know, when things can kind of unfurl from there in terms of, you know, actually games being played. And I know the coaches that they want to be able to ramp up. You know, they want to have a couple of weeks. I was talking with somebody the other day. You know, they want to have a couple of weeks before their quote-unquote fall camp, which is usually 3 to 4 weeks as well. So I think there's still even going to be a lag time between when students actually get back on campus, whether it's August, whether it's September, whether it's even further into the fall. There's going to be an additional lag time beyond that in terms of getting games played. And so as much as everybody, you know, talks about empty stadiums and potential, that potential just in terms of trying to get that TV revenue, I think it's still, like I said, a long road back to that point. And it really does start with the universities themselves being comfortable with having people on campus.
You know, Brian, the other thing about this, and it clicked when you said, you know, these guys are used to controlling everything. I think the younger guys will do better with this. I think Ryan Day and guy, I think Lincoln Riley, I think those type of guys will do better with this from being adaptable. They're not quite as set in their ways. You talked about getting an extra couple of weeks in camp. I don't know how you're going to get it. I don't know if you're going to get an extra couple of weeks in camp. You're missing all of spring football, which is critical for them. So they're going to have to adjust to a lot of those things. And from the perspective of who can adapt quickly, I would think, and just deductive reasoning, that the guys that are the younger guys would be more adaptable to whatever's coming, because to the point you made on Mike Gundy, he has complete control over everything in that program, and this is completely outside of his hands. So this is unfamiliar territory for all of these guys, and they're going to have to adapt on the fly. And it's the other thing that's really difficult here is, from a system standpoint, there's how many different overlords? I mean, you answer to an athletic director, you answer to a coach, you answer to a conference commissioner. There's really no NCAA czar over football. So I don't even know how they could all be on the same page when all these states have different rules in terms of who can be out and who can't. And I assume that will continue as well.
Yeah, I agree completely. And I think you talk with some of the coaches, and they're just so used to that rhythm, you know, right, of the off season. They're supposed to be recruiting. for that spring evaluation period coming up. You know, they're so used to that cadence in their life, whether it's the NFL or whether it's college, in terms of, you know, how their offseason is going to go. They might have some weeks here and there that are different, but you know, they know what's happening come June, come July, come August. You know, and that rhythm being disrupted obviously has larger effects. And I think when you know, this is so much of a case where the sports is on the back burner. And I think for the older coaches, they need to kind of understand that, you know, look, as much as everybody wants that distraction, everybody wants to play, that is taking a backseat to lives being lost right now. And you know, I was talking with somebody the other day, you know, they made the good point that, you know, look, this is not going to be determined by, you know, California or New York getting back to normal. You know, this is going to be determined by that last state. You know, we've got 50 states. You know, there's FBS programs in all of them. You know, it's going to be determined by that last one being comfortable with games being played. And that's ultimately the test. As much as Mike Gundy and Oklahoma might want to have games being back to play, if Florida's not ready, if North Carolina's not ready, it's simply not going to happen. And that's the state of the system right now.
Well, Brian, I thought you said the most insightful thing that you brought up is these coaches are so used to being in total control, right? That's the thing about college football coaches. They have total control over their programs, and nobody around the world has control of this virus. They don't. Nobody really knows anything definitively as far as treatment, whether vaccines, all that stuff. For me, what as a college football fan, though, what is a date to where, I mean, we're April 8th right now. What is a date to you to where you start to get really nervous about no season? Is it July 1? Is it July 31? What is a date to where you're like, my goodness, I'm not sure we see the light at the end of the tunnel of this thing yet. We actually might lose the season.
I think we're going to have certainly some inkling come kind of that May to June window. Obviously, you have a lot of questions in terms of, you know, the students getting back on campus, like we were just talking about. That's when the university presidents are going to have some sort of semblance in terms of, hey, are people wanting to come back on campus? Are people putting down those big deposits? Obviously, there's an economic component to this as well in terms of we're likely to be in a recession. You know, that means college is going to be tight. Some people are going to avoid going to school. So I think there's that aspect of things as well. I think the key date in a lot of people's minds is if there is that light in the tunnel, I think you look a little bit at July 1st in terms of being able to make a decision by then whether things are going to start on time. And then it is really kind of a rolling thing. You know, this is not the NBA where they can – you know, have that talk about going to, you know, being sequestered and you know, they're one central decision making. This is going to be 50 states, you know, 100 universities, you know, over, you know, 200 universities.
Jeez.
Kind of coming together to make a decision. And that's difficult to do given all these varying circumstances. So I think July 1st might be a key date, but it's going to be a rolling thing as things kind of progress.
Yeah, it is. Great stuff, Brian, as always. Appreciate your time.
All right, good to be on with you guys.